Pickaxe.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome back to The Review of Death, your fortnightly home for Doctor Who news and reviews. I am Matthew Toffolo. Joining me over there is Billy Garrett-John. How are you doing, Billy?
Which way am I looking? You're over there. Hello, Matt.
I'm fine, thank you.
I'm really good. I am excited to talk about the new trailer.
Yes.
It feels a bit weird doing it this way around, because it's my evening and it's your morning.
Yes, I have an hour, well, less than an hour and a half to start work, so...
Okay, well, let's spend 2 hours talking about Doctor Who, then.
It's more important.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, Minecraft, who gives a shit?
Quite literally. Yes, it's Doctor Who trailer time. It's happened. It came out 23rd of September. Does that mean we're like exactly 2 months out? Like, is that an indication of what's going to happen?
Yeah.
I also noticed it's after this goes out, it's probably a couple of days ahead, but it's 2 years since it was announced that Russell was coming back.
Wow.
Gosh. That's crazy, isn't it?
It's bonkers. Wow. That whole thing seems like such a weird, hazy dream now.
Time is immaterial.
Yeah. Now we're here, aren't we? We're here in the thick of it, living it. Living it large.
It's happening. So it went out just before the first episode of Strictly. So I imagine they'll be quite good bedfellows for each other as we screen towards November and December.
We had a table booked at 6:30 and we were looking at the time because Alan Carr's show was running over a little bit. And I was like, look, should we just go and we'll just watch it when we get back? And Annie was like, no, I want to watch it on the telly. I want to watch it go out live. I'm like, my God.
You have to. I have to wait until I wake up. And then I wake up and usually I've forgotten what has happened 2 hours prior UK time. And I'm like, right, okay. Well, let's talk about it. I mean, what were your first thoughts? Because I sort of was a bit like, yeah, it's a good trailer. I've obviously watched it over and over and over again since and have gotten myself incredibly hyped. But... you know, it was like, oh, it's that same opening shot of London. It's the Camden stuff. It kind of runs quite chronologically, doesn't it, like the others?
Yes, I thought that. I mean, overall, I thought it was amazing. I loved the trailer. I thought it was brilliant. But yeah, it was interesting. Obviously, they're being very careful with playing their cards very close to their chest. Like you said, it's still 2 months away. So the opening is very much... all the stuff that we already know. And just really setting up the Dr. Donna situation, where everybody is. And I mean, it's fine that they've reused stuff because general audiences will not remember seeing the trailer from Christmas or bloody Eurovision. They're not sad gits like us who have gone through the YouTube video meticulously frame by frame. And know exactly what things are where.
Which, incidentally, has hit a million views in a day, which is probably better than some of the Jodie trailers did for, like, initial release.
That's very interesting you should say that, because a mutual friend of ours, we were chatting last night. I'm not going to out them because they might get attacked on Twitter by Jodie Whittaker fans.
Or get attacked by people in a production office somewhere in Wales.
And they said, look at the difference between the views of the trailer that went out. By this point, it wasn't even 24 hours. And at that point, it had something like over 800,000 views.
Amazing.
Jodie's trailer for Power of the Doctor till today only has 500,000 views. And then I think for Flux, it was like 700,000. So it's amazing to see how there's already been a shift of interest straight away, which is brilliant. You know, that's not a slight on the Whittaker era. You know, I'm just very happy to see that Doctor Who is getting the interest it deserves.
It's difficult, though, not to contrast it, because especially in light of that Chris Chibnall interview, which the second episode has already been out for like a week now, I think. But knowing that he was adverse to sort of like promoting it at all, I don't even think it was necessarily in the same way as, or, you know, it just seemed like, you know, here we are 2 months out. It's an anniversary special. I get it's a different kettle of fish, but ultimately it's still Doctor Who and it should be treated as a big deal every year or every 2 years, or however often you're producing it. But we're 2 months out and we've had loads of footage and we it's revealing stuff without spoiling it, you know? Like, I'm sure we'll talk about Neil Patrick Harris's character in a bit, but Doctor Who fans knew who that was. To the general public, they couldn't give a toss. 2 months out is probably about the time to sort of say, this is that character's name, confirms all the suspicions of the fans and gets non-fans intrigued. Who is the toy maker? What is their deal? You know, somebody brought it up on Twitter not long ago, but they were talking about that Next Time trailer at the end of Series 11's, what was it? Was it at the end of the Ghost Monument, where he just brings up all the actors? You know, there is a stark contrast between getting excited about a guest actor being in something and having nothing revealed, and, you know, just having little nuggets, there's enough in there that you can get your teeth into. I just don't think that was happening, was it?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, what? How long is this trailer? Like 2.5 minutes. Well, you know, for 3 hour episodes, that is nothing. You know, we are learning nothing about what's going on in these stories. I mean, this was we saw more in this trailer from The Giggle and Wild Blue Yonder than we've seen before. But even then, I think we could sort of maybe start piecing bits of plot together. But for that Wild Blue Yonder one, other than they land somewhere, possibly a spaceship, who knows, and the TARDIS buggers off because the TARDIS is like, this place is scary, I'm out of here. That's all we know. But it's enough, isn't it? It's enough for you to go, oh, well, I'm interested to see what that's all about. It's not a case of like, oh, well, they've spoiled the whole thing for me now.
No, it's crazy. It just raises the stakes a little bit in the context of that story to know something as innocuous as, okay, they haven't got the TARDIS for that episode. And that line is just enough for you to be intrigued. Oh, okay, there's something deeper happening here, which we all suspect is going to happen. But we'll get round to it. Well, let's work our way through it. So Donna, obviously, you know, Catherine Tate is a big part of the trailer. All the way through it. She says she feels like there's something missing, like she's had something lovely and lost it. And then we see the Series 4 clips, which totally took me by surprise.
Yeah, that was cool. Do you think that's why it's been upscaled on Blu-ray? Do you think they were like, oh, we need flashbacks
for broadcast? It probably makes sense to do it that way. But then, you know, I think really it's probably for Disney Plus, isn't it? Like, that makes the most sense. But yeah, sure. I mean, I guess a good part of that is that you can upscale this stuff and you can have a fresh looking sheen to the footage when you decide to go back to it. But I was just really, I thought, okay, maybe we'll see some flashbacks in the story itself, but I didn't expect it in the trailer.
No, that's unusual to see that. But I mean, it's good, isn't it? Because I guess they're obviously playing on the nostalgia, and that was such a big story. When it aired, you know, crikey, it made the news, didn't it? The cliffhanger to Stolen Earth. So it makes sense to tug on people's heartstrings or their memory strings and, you know, for the Joe public to go, oh, yeah, I remember that. That was a really good story. And like, oh, yeah, wasn't it good back then? And hopefully it's drag people, them into the new stuff.
It's people like our age and slightly younger, I guess, who have the nostalgia for that period of Doctor Who that people maybe had for the Davison, Baker, McCoy era when the show came back Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, it's the hallmarks of the show. And obviously you would play off the most critically and commercially successful part of the program since it came back, which would be that period. So it makes perfect sense. Talking about tugging on heartstrings and memory strings, obviously the Doctor reiterates that if Donna remembers him, she'll die.
Yeah.
And he's telling this to Ruth Madley's character.
Yeah.
Ruth Madley, who I know we have been told by Russell that the character's name is Shirley Ann Bingham.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we like our wild conspiracy theories on the podcast, our wild shots in the dark that somehow pay off. I think I had a couple, like, during Flux. It was one during Flux. I thought that was quite good. Anyway, I'm going to say that Shirley Ann Bingham is Susan Foreman.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to put it out there.
Okay. Well, you hit it here first, folks.
And it's got nothing to do with the fact that, you know, Shirley Ann Bingham, Carol Ann Ford, nothing to do with that, but that helps.
Ah, interesting.
But I was like, I fucking got it, but it's Anne with an E for this new character.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know,
never
I'm
know.
Just getting... Because it's the fact that the Doctor is explaining this to her, and this is a character we obviously haven't met, but you would assume... and it seems like it comes from the first episode, so you would assume this character is going to need some sort of lead-in and explanation as to what's going on. They're not going to do that on screen, so this character is probably clued up on the Doctor... genetics of that regard and timey-wimey-ness.
Yeah, so, because at first I think everyone assumed she was going to be something to do with UNIT, but we see a lot of UNIT later on from episode 3, and I don't think you really see her there. I could be completely wrong, but I can't recall sort of seeing her with Kate Stewart or anything like that. So maybe she's an entity unto herself. I thought you were going to say, well, she's a bloody new curator.
She's the Rani.
You never know.
Weirdest stuff's happened. And there's a whole thing about how Donna seems to be drawing things into her.
Yeah.
Which I thought was quite interesting, which makes me think that that conversation with Ruth's character may be at the end of the first story, or maybe... at some point later down the line, because, you know, the fact he's saying drawing us, it's like, well, the Doctor, and then I guess Beep, and I guess the Wraith Warriors, and maybe some other stuff, I don't know. But it was just an interesting bit of wording, I thought, for that whole thing. How do you think, what do you think is going to be the payoff here? How do you think it's all going to get connected, that things are being drawn in? How's Donna's brain not going to explode when she sees the Doctor? What's the conceit, do you reckon?
So we were talking about this when it aired, and I think what it's going to be, and Annie sort of thought this as well, I think, and I'd said this before, I think it's the toy maker has forced the Doctor to regenerate into a version of his old self. And I think that he has, because he's obviously all powerful, he is stopping Donna's mind from going kablooey when... she meets the Doctor. And I think it's obviously his influence that's bringing in Beep the Meep. Because that line from the Doctor, you know, it suggests that there are more things going on. And there's also that image later on in the trailer where the toy maker is like a puppeteer and he's got puppets on a string. And I think that's what he's doing. I think he's playing with their lives. And I think the idea is the Celestial Toy Maker's game will be... you have to play my games, the two of you. But, Doctor, if you beat me, her mind will go back to normal and she will die because she'll remember who you are and that's it. So you either let me do all the mad shit that I'm doing or if you beat me, you lose one of your best friends.
What an evil bastard, eh?
Yeah.
That's a nice idea.
Yeah.
I like it.
I think the Doctor should also turn around and say, here's my dentist bill from the 1960s. I had a root canal done after one of those boiled sweets you left behind.
And there's another line later on, isn't there, about, you know, I'll find it here somewhere. It's The One Who Waits.
Yeah.
I think I can't remember. I couldn't tell if that was David saying that line or Neil Patrick Harris.
That's David.
That's obviously an indication that the Toymaker has been conspicuous by his absence, like we said in the Toymaker review last episode. It's like he's been waiting to spring his trap again to really, you know, get the Doctor.
Yeah. And someone posted on Twitter that there was a screen grab from the original story, and the Toymaker says something like, "Oh, I've been waiting a long time for us to meet again, Doctor." You sort of think, yeah, he's the character, you know, because I guess time is immaterial to him.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it was funny because obviously they hadn't announced that Neil Patrick Harris was playing the Toymaker when the trailer went out. But I remember we were like watching it and like all those little things, like the Doctor saying, "Oh, I'm getting a memory from a long, long time ago," and all this sort of stuff. We're like, "Oh, it's obviously the Toymaker. It's obviously the Toymaker." And all the way, you know, and like Neil Patrick Harris and his mock German accent going, "Ah, he is remembering." Yeah. Sounds like my dentist. yeah, all that stuff. You know, it was all setting up like, "Oh, okay, this is a character from the past." And I just love the way, we're probably getting ahead of ourselves, but I just love the way that they're going to do the Toymaker in this scenario. Because we said when we reviewed the original story, we were like, "Oh, you know, for a guy who can basically bend reality to his will, he doesn't really do much." But here, he's in the thick of it, and there's so many facets of his character. You have the Toymaker in the shop and the puppeteer. You've got the Toymaker in like the aviator outfit from like the 20s with the goggles on that great big bloody unit cannon. And then you've got the other version of the Toymaker that runs through the unit office, and he's in like a soldier's outfit, like a toy soldier's outfit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you've got the kind of Greatest Showman gimmick and all that
as well. Yeah. And I love that one of the shots is in unit HQ. There's that door. Just that wooden door frame.
Yeah.
And that's the door that was on Who's Spy with the picture, which had the carving of Joey the Clown from the Celestial Toymaker. So good. I'm loving all this attention to detail.
Yeah. I was going to ask how you think that ends up there. If that is like a portal or if it's a TARDIS or what it could be, you know?
Yeah. I think it's going to be some sort of portal to his realm, and maybe the toy shop that we saw in Bristol.
Yeah.
Maybe that is his realm. Maybe it's a bit like that. And you know, it makes you wonder how much of what we're seeing is real, or, you know,
because
when you see the Doctor look up and he's doing the puppeteer thing, which was very Batman Arkham Asylum with the Scarecrow level.
I saw the references online. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. George Sheard also shared it on Twitter. Yeah, it's just really great. And I love that there's this... I mean, we always love when Doctor Who does things that are a bit more out there. And I feel like this is really doing... showing what Doctor Who can be. You've got your alien invasion story at the start, which isn't quite an alien invasion story. You've got your second story, which is trapped at the end of the universe, possibly some sort of base under siege type thing, where... you know, it looks like there's no way out. And then you've got the last one, which is like big finale, end of the world stakes by the looks of things. And my God, doesn't the production values look amazing this
Absolutely.
Year? But it's also a bit weird and mind bendy and, you know, reality altering. Yeah, it's just great. I'm so hyped for it.
So yeah, let's talk a bit about The World Blue Yonder. So we obviously get the reference to Something So Bad, The TARDIS Ran Away. Really cool visual of like the charred outline of it. And there's a flash
like
indented,
of the... isn't it?
Yeah. There's a flash of the TARDIS, I think earlier in the trailer, where it's all sort of yellowy behind the windows and it's going a bit, you know, crazy against the wall.
Yeah, it slams into it, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Really cool.
So... immediately when that happened, you know, what does the TARDIS not like? You know, the TARDIS doesn't like temporal things that shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And I know that when that shot came out from one of the initial trailers, I think it might have been from one of the glitch ones, where the Doctor and Donna are on the floor sort of shielding their eyes from something. And everybody went, they're watching somebody regenerate. I think that's the TARDIS bit. But it does make that me think sense. That there is something temporal, timey-wimey going on that the TARDIS would freak out and go, you know, there's too many doctors here, or there's too many something else here. I need to get out of this situation. Because I don't think that's... I get the feeling that this is going to be divorced from the toy maker.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get hints of it in the first one. The second one is a bit of an adventure kind of elsewhere that eventually leads us back to Earth for the giggle.
But I think you're right.
I think I think we've said it before. This will be the jaw-dropper fan episode, I think.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's being set up that way to me, given the fact we know nothing about it.
Yeah, and I think there's a shot, isn't there, later on, which I assume is from this story, which is like some sort of weird, wibbly-wobbly energy thing that's like floating in the air. So I'm guessing that could be, like you said, maybe that's some sort of time
possibly
thing.
I mean, I made a note of that and thought, until we mentioned the toy maker's door might be like a portal, unless
that's true,
like something to do with that. But I also thought it's interesting, it's the same colors that they're using for all the promo images. It's like blue and purple,
that sort of I wonder if that's the new vortex.
Yeah, possibly. So maybe that's like an impression of what's coming, like breaking through, or if we are in the Toy Maker's universe, maybe that's what, you know, that's the was reality bleeding through rather than it being something bad coming through from over there. It's actually over there trying to break through into the bad thing. I don't know.
This
is all crazy speculation at this point. So we see the Doctor being helicoptered to UNIT with TARDIS in tow, a la 50th anniversary. And UNIT HQ, boy, have they gone up in the world.
We've got Avengers Tower.
It's such a rip. I mean, fucking hell. I know you're going to be on Disney Plus, but shit, come on.
I half expected Iron Man to come flying around.
It's an audacious looking building. There's no way they're going to get top secret signs around that.
No.
It's pretty obvious what that is.
But we saw the helipad, didn't we, that we'd seen.
Did.
Yeah, so all that we were like, oh, this must be a new Valiant or whatever. You know, we were kind of right. It's up in the air.
Kind of. It's just, it's up there somewhere.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe it detaches. Maybe it flies out on its own.
That's not a bad thought. I like that. But we see the Avengers base, the Avengers Tower. Something I didn't notice until watching it back and sort of pausing it and looking at bits earlier is... London is already smouldering in the background. Yeah. So it kind of makes me think maybe the Doctor's going to turn up a bit late.
Yeah.
Because we know that UNIT's involved in the first one. So maybe the Toy Maker's already doing what the Toy Maker does and then gets called into UNIT, the Doctor, maybe.
Maybe. Because we see those great big machine things, don't we, smashing into the concrete and like all the lava or whatever it is, or the fire bubbling up from the ground.
Yeah, right.
So God knows what's going on there. But
do you think maybe that could be... I'm only saying this because of part of the trailer that I think I'm overanalyzing, but I'll come to later to do with the time of day that some shots are happening in. But do you not think maybe all that lava stuff might be from the first one? Because a lot of that story seems to be taking place at night.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, that might be right, actually. So maybe that's just like a hangover from that stuff.
Yeah, just like a cool shot just to put in the middle of all that.
Yeah, maybe the Wrath Warriors are like, well, we can't find the Meep, so we'll just blow up the planet just to be on the safe side.
It's here somewhere. We will get him doing this, but, you know.
There'll be some collateral, but it's fine.
they don't worry about that. So Kate Lethbridge-Stewart pops up. And there's a line about how do we fight the human race? So obviously this is in reference to stuff that we were seeing on location. Spoilers, by the way, everybody. Should have said that at the start.
I mean,
but you're watching this video, so...
Yeah, you must know. We're talking about the trailer. Come on.
So stuff on location to do with people going a bit crazy and driving erratically and going mad. Obviously something to do with
what
the filmmaker's done. That's just the city centre of Bristol on a Saturday night. But the there was that shot again from one of the early trailers of Neil Patrick Harris throwing a load of petals at the camera.
Yeah.
So, and we know that, like, that
American
they obviously
Beauty
are all
sort of shot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're all falling around people as they go crazy as well. So I'm guessing this is something to do with the spell that he's got them under. Or it's a if this is a fantasy realm, it's a nice visual aid to sort of cut between the two, you know?
Yeah, could be.
Like, like he's getting magic dust blown in his face and suddenly he's in the trippy realm or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Who knows?
Yeah, no, that's cool.
So we've got Kate involved. And we would assume Bonnie is somewhere.
Yeah, I would imagine so, because someone spotted that Kate's got that little armband thing on, which is what Mel was wearing in the first promo picture they released of her. So yes, there's something
is
there.
Either something that everybody in unit wears and it will just be part of the uniform when they go into the building or something, or it's something specific to the story that makes them immune from what the toy maker's doing to them.
Oh, yes, that's a good shout. Yeah.
I don't know how that works, but maybe.
I wonder if the giggle is some sort of hypnotic suggestion type thing. Because you see that there was the... I don't think you see it so much in this trailer, but in the previous trailer, you see the puppet, don't you? The laughing puppet. And I wonder if that's been put out into the ether, into the media or whatever, and people hear it and they go bonkers. Mm. So maybe,
that's a good thought.
Sort of thing to, I don't know, stop that from happening.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Then, after seeing some stuff from the giggle with the helicopter and all that sort of stuff, we get that bit with Tennant slamming that wall.
Yeah, going bonkers.
Doing his great.
Why does it have to be this?
Off,
yeah,
upset acting. That is. This is all crazy conspiratorial stuff. We're just speculating, but
yeah,
he's not. He's not talking to somebody in the room there.
No, I don't think so.
Which makes me think he's either kind of, referring generally to the toy maker or the baddie, even if he doesn't know who they are yet.
Yeah.
Or he, whenever the Doctor's talking in that manner, usually they're talking to Time Lords or Gallifrey. So it could be that he's got in contact with them somehow. And I think people are leaning into this idea, and Russell has obviously been feeding it, that something happens to Donna. And I guess, because we've seen a lot of David on his own through the clips of that story that we've seen, and a lot of them together.
Yeah.
Maybe something happens to Donna in that story.
Maybe. I guess you always want to split them up, don't you? The Doctor and the Companion. So, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. And then this is the next conspiracy theory. So, as you mentioned before, we've got the toy maker on the helipad with the galvanic beam, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Galvanic beam.
Yeah.
And
Gurt gun.
It's this Gurt massive gun light. And it seems to be a confrontation between him and the Doctor.
Yeah.
If you look in the background, when you see Neil Patrick Harris on the gun, he's taken a chunk out of the shard behind him, which is quite a cool little visual thing. But I was...
Maybe units should keep a great big gun on top of their base.
It's probably a bad idea, isn't it? I mean, what are they using it for in the context of that story? If that's what I think it is, and it's somewhere near the end of the third episode.
Yes.
What's the use in having that?
I don't know. Maybe they use it to shoot down Cybermen ships.
Sure. I mean, where does it come from?
It's
a bloody
basis.
Massive thing to just wheel out and stick at the end of that helipad.
Oh God! She wants that bloody gun out again. Let's go on.
Those poor hunky unit soldiers that everybody was salivating over on Twitter, the brooding ones. That I don't like the uniform. I don't like the ultra padded sci-fi thing.
It doesn't have the homely feel of the old green ones.
No.
Where's this John is Levine? Be... Why isn't he pushing that gun out? You know.
We know why he's not pushing that gun out. Because he'd turn it on everyone and then himself.
Yeah. Houses of Parliament. I mean, that's not a bad thing. You know?
Well, that's Matt advocating for the murder of politicians there, not me. But I want to talk about that shooty shot. It's the last shot of the trailer.
The shooty shot.
The shooty shot. Now, I've seen people speculate that shooty on the clifftop where Jodie regenerates because we hear the regeneration tinkly sound.
Yeah.
I've heard people speculate that that shooty at the edge and he's talking to some old farts on a log. I think that Neil Patrick Harris offs the 14th Doctor with that galvanic beam.
Yeah. This is good Doctor Who, this. You got an unpronounceable weapons name.
It's probably nothing like what I've just butchered it as in terms of pronunciation, but whatever.
No, it sounds good.
And
sounds
I think Shooty regenerates on the... DT regenerates into Shooty on the helipad. And that thing we're seeing behind him, if you look at the stuff with Neil Patrick Harris with the big gun.
Yes.
It's sort of turning into the end of the evening, the sky's going red. And then we have that shot of the red behind Shooty. And I know that they obviously said stuff featuring Shooty has been altered with the backdrops to not give away where they are.
Yeah.
I just wonder if because they knew the set leaked online, because they knew it was going to play a big part visually in the stories and for maybe future stories, that's why they cut that set out. But I think that's him with his back to London. And he's on the helipad, and I think that's where the regeneration happens.
Could be. That's a very good shout, I think. I don't think, like people were saying, I don't think it's got anything to do with going back to where Jodie regenerated, purely because everyone was sort of saying that. I know they said it all because of the sky and the regeneration sound. The regeneration sound is the regeneration sound. Mm. It's the same sound since 2005. You might as well turn around and say, oh, well, Chris Reckleston might turn up in this case because of that chinkly noise. And they used the same sound earlier on anyway when Donna's going all Time Lordy-eyed in the flashbacks. Yeah. So as I don't think it's that. But I think certainly what you're suggesting, I think that could be onto something there. I don't know what they call it, the place at the edge, end of the edge.
Yeah, the edge, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
The edge, whatever it is. Old Fart's retirement home. you know, yeah, maybe it could be that, and perhaps that's how they'll get old doctors into it. I'm sort of reluctant to believe that would be the case. I don't know if that's the sort of thing Russell would go in for. And especially since it's already been so done, it's been done so soon after Power of the Doctor. So I think you might be right. Maybe that's it. Maybe he's up there. Or maybe he's, you know, maybe he's had, because he's in a different costume. He's got a different coat on.
Yes, I did notice he's not got the, unless that stuff of him with the tie kind of ripped aside and the whole, can people tell me what the hell's going on? Unless that is from like episode two, special two, or earlier on, and that Shooty as like the Watcher coming through in like bits and bobs, something that happens in the future that we haven't seen yet, maybe from the start of his first season, that sort of pushing through, you know?
I reckon it could either be that, or maybe when he says, can someone tell me what the hell is going on here? Maybe he is on the roof with Kate and all that lot, and he has just regenerated, hence why he's in David's outfit. And perhaps the shot that we see at the end of this trailer, you know, the TARDIS is parked upon the roof. Maybe he's just done his full get into costume.
Yeah.
I am now the Doctor. And that's like
the last shot.
Yeah, like the big shot before he goes off into the TARDIS and into Adventures New. I still think we're going to see a copy of Doctor Who Weekly in this. I reckon we're... I want to see the toy maker say something like, ah, I looked across the multiverse and found your adventures, and I thought I'd pilfer one or two, and he can throw an issue of Doctor Who Weekly at David Tennant. Little Tom Baker cameo, little multiversal weirdness going on.
Isn't it funny that Doctor Who's never done that meta thing?
No.
And it seems like it's a natural progression of the kind of time-bending, narrative-bending stories it does.
But yeah.
I don't know if I like that.
Oh, really?
Necessarily. As like yeah. as a realm for Doctor Who to touch on, maybe as like a throwaway line here or there. Like the way it does, yeah. you know, the Doctor knows Arthur Dent. It's like, okay, Hitchhikers is in the same universe. When it's yeah. just sort of subtle and your mind can just sort of think, oh, maybe something's bled through from somewhere else or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there are lands of fiction out there. What if something's bled out of that or whatever?
Well, yeah, of course.
I think
yeah, yeah, yeah.
just having something so on the nose as to see the logo of the show in the show.
Yeah.
That might be the route that Russell's heading yeah. if they want to open up the Hooniverse, which is obviously, you know, looming large over this whole project.
Yeah.
And we haven't really seen the fruits of that besides the main show. So, yeah,
no.
maybe. But it would explain why Beep's there. I just wonder what they're going to do for the second one in that case. What is the mind-bending meta narrative there?
Yeah.
Unless it's like he is trapped in his own episode of Doctor Who, or he has to watch his other self
pirates.
From... Yeah, yeah. Get me out of here!
Why does it have to be this? It all makes sense. It all makes sense.
That's it. He's forced to watch his shitest stories. That's a great idea. Let's put on the Time Monster. Oh, he's off to himself. That's how shooty
yeah.
it is. Yeah, I don't know. I love the idea of Doctor Who eventually branching out into that stuff, but I don't like it to be so on the nose. I don't know. Maybe that's
I mean,
just
me. I think it could just be like a like you said, a throwaway thing. Maybe it's not even as on the nose as that. Maybe you know, it's just you know, maybe Donna finds the magazine and says, "Hang on a minute, the Star Beast. Wait, this is us. That's him in the book. That's him in my shed.
And that's
Rose, but her name's Stacy or whatever it is."
what if the whole giggle thing with the ventriloquist dummy, because
yeah,
that if it is the ventriloquist dummy from like the early TV broadcasts,
yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe we are going towards a meta Doctor Who referring to itself in all of its different forms.
Yeah.
So like, where does Big Finish come into it? Where does real-time pictures and BBV come into this, you know? maybe he's being forced to watch Zygon when being you just isn't enough.
I wouldn't wish that upon anyone.
No, I wouldn't either. But
I almost regenerated after watching that.
is that your like your crazy big bit of speculation, do you reckon? Is that the kind of thing that is going to happen?
Yeah, I think they might. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they will literally just adapt it and it'll just be adapted. But I don't know. I think when you're playing with a character like the Toymaker who exists outside of the universe
yeah.
and can see all this stuff, you know, and can rip the fucking ceiling off of a building and go, "Ooh, I'm a puppeteer," you know, I think I think it's well within his possibilities to go, "Oh yeah, let's set up a game for the Doctor based on some comic book."
I like it. I like that idea a lot. Maybe you've taught me around to it.
Yeah, all right.
As long as it's done like this and then we don't mention it again. Maybe this is like, yeah, it's just like a mention of like, hey, look, there are other universes out there, other things that happen in the Doctor yeah. Who universe. Here's like a little reference to the fact there's lots you can dig into beyond the TV show. And we'll get round to those eventually.
Yeah.
But yeah, as yeah. long as that doesn't become something that appears in like the main TV series, you know?
Oh yeah, no, I don't think it'll be anything like that. I think it'll just be a little nod again to celebrating the 60 years, you know, that Doctor Who magazine yeah. has been a big part of it and the comics have been a big part of it, especially when the show wasn't on the air. So that's how that little section of Doctor Who history gets its, you know, little round of applause. I mean, I think it's amazing that we've got a villain that hasn't been seen since 1966. And I think that's probably how we're going to get around this being like the 60th anniversary story. You know, it may not be all the Doctors come together, which I'm almost certain it's not going to be. Will there be a few cameos? Possibly. I'd like to maybe see someone. And, you know, if they do go back to the Edge or whatever the hell the thing's called, and we see an old Doctor or two, that'd be lovely. But I think it's just going to celebrate Doctor Who's history in other ways. And I guess that's going to be like, well, this is very old Doctor Who. You know, we've brought this baddie back. We're celebrating all of 2005 onward Doctor Who with David and Donna. You've got a bit of Stephen Moffat in there with Kate Stewart. Chris Chibnall's TARDIS police boxes in it. Anyone else? Any era that I've missed?
Are we getting any reference? Donald Tosh, where's that? Oh, well, no shit. Toymaker, that's him.
Yeah, we got him. Yeah, there we are.
All coming together. What do you think? We'll leave it with this, just because unless you've got anything else to say, the thing that is still intriguing me is this second episode.
Yeah.
Like, for me, you know, besides the finale being the finale, seeing Shooty and celebrating the 60th anniversary as a whole, and you know, watching these brand new episodes, I think the fact that we know so little about it is really intriguing. What is your speculation on that? What do you think is going to happen in that story? What do you think is going on? Why are we not seeing anything of it? What could they be hiding?
I don't know. It must be something big. It must be something big. Whether it's another Doctor, I don't know. But it has to be something that's going to make us as fans go, holy shit, how did they do that and pull that off? Because there needs to be a reason why they shot it all in the studio. I mean, perhaps it might have just been, you know, the cheaper one, so we shoot it all in a studio. I don't know how much that necessarily, you know, that worked back in the old days. If you shoot it in the studio, that's the cheapy one because location filming is so expensive. I don't know how much that translates to modern television. So it could be an element of that, but I think it's going to be that they're trying to hide something big. But I don't know what that could be. Maybe it is Susan.
Maybe it is Susan.
Maybe Caroline Ford comes back.
Trying to find the quote, because I'm sure somebody mentioned a quote that was attributed to either David Tennant or Catherine Tate saying something like, we're actually only a small part of the 60th anniversary.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So whether that means we, as in a royal we, between the two of them, or Catherine's only in the first one and the third one, and she's only in the third one for a little bit.
Yeah.
Or it's that includes him as part of that, and he is only a small part of it if you have another Doctor for the second one. So I think that could be the case. I think that could be the Matt Smith's in, Capaldi's in, Jodie's in, you know. I think that could be the one where that happens. But we shall see in 2 months' time, roughly speaking.
And that'd be interesting as well, because it's the second one. You know, everyone would expect it to be the big finale. But if you want to save the big finale for something else, and obviously you're introducing a whole new Doctor, aren't you, in the finale? Because you've got Shooty coming into it.
And also I think it having it as that second one in the middle, it does isolate it as maybe, like I said before, the Doctor Who fan one.
Yeah.
You know,
that makes sense.
Sort of, but it buffers the other halves, you know?
Yeah.
So, because, like you say, you wouldn't want to put all that stuff in the last one because Shooty's coming along, and you wouldn't want to alienate people in the first one because you're trying to get people on board again.
And I mean, we literally just seen how putting all these Doctors and stuff goes down, literally in the last story that aired, you know, Power of the Doctor. Mm. Jodie didn't even really feel like she was in it because there was just too many characters. So, I can see why Russell would maybe say, well, look, I'll give you your cake and eat it, but you'll get it partway through so I can really, so the story can be finished properly in the finale.
Yeah. You know, what we were hearing, even when the show was about to go back into production, was that the 60th anniversary is a balls out celebration of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And I guess that would extend to these references to alternative media. But yeah, when I think balls out, you know, celebration of Doctor Who, I think returning characters, massive cameos, big surprises. So yeah, I think we'll get those across the three. But if any of them are going to have the fan ones, it's going to be that last one. That middle one, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, anything else?
Not really, other than it looks bloody good. And
yeah,
it just, production-wise, looks incredible.
Yeah.
It looks like a film. It's bonkers. It's funny, isn't it? We always say that every time new Doctor Who comes out, like throughout the Jodie Whittaker era, we were saying, wow, Doctor Who's never looked so good. And now we're here again saying, wow, Doctor Who's never looked so good. You know, these huge,
I suppose that's just the
London.
Yeah, that's just,
it's great.
As more people come on board and say, oh no, Doctor Who could be shot like this. There's no reason why it couldn't be shot like this.
Yeah.
Like, I think even Chris Chibnall said in his interview, like putting those prime lenses on just sort of makes everything look more luscious, and you can do different things, and you know there's no reason why you can't use those. So yeah, I mean, they've really pulled out all the stops. They've done an incredible job. It's a shame the money's gonna have run out for Shooty's first series, and they'll be forced to use, you know, sticky back plastic and bin liners for monsters. But never mind. Yeah. If he's a good actor, he'll work around those props
off,
and those monsters. Yeah,
yeah. And I'm so glad that they had him at the end. Because that was the one thing I was like, I hope they show some Shooty in this trailer. And it was nice to see a new shot of him. And especially that, you know, Sex Education just came out the same week, wasn't it? So, I mean, we've been watching Sex Education and just been like, oh, what's he going to be like as the Doctor, you know? But I think he's going to be brilliant.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fabulous. It's exciting times. So we are, I guess from now, it's sort of like T-minus 2 months until Doctor Who comes back. Will it be consecutive Saturdays? Will it be 3 days in a row? Will it be one after the other? Available on BBC iPlayer right now. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, I can't imagine them doing that. I can't imagine them putting it straight on iPlayer. I think it will.
They know that people would just be putting it.
Yeah,
you know, people will scrub to the end of the giggle before the first one's even fucking started.
Exactly, yeah. And I think Russell knows that. And I think Russell is such a big advocate for television as, piece of media that, you know, he's not going to be like, oh, well, let's spoil it for everybody. You know, he wants everybody to tune in and make it event television, you know? So I don't think we've got that to worry about. But I think it's just one of those funny, oddly worded BBC press things that, you know, we've seen it before. We know what they're like.
Precisely. We know what the BBC are like. And they're bloody marvellous. They give us so much.
Yeah. I want some toys as well, please, because I watched that trailer and I was like, I want Beat the Meep. I want the Wrath Warriors because they look fucking great. And I imagine they'd be quite big. So I want all the dollies.
David with his trench coat. David in his waistcoat. A new Donna.
New Donna.
A toy maker.
Yeah.
Maybe that
a couple
puppet
of versions of him.
Yeah. And Bonnie.
And Bonnie, yeah.
Please. Yeah. And one of those cuffs, because, you know, they'll be in kids will be wanting those. I mean, it might make you look like you're an escaped convict with a security bracelet on, but you know.
Yeah. And a million different variations of Shooty Gatwa.
Which I think we're going to get, judging by the number of costume changes this Donnie's going to get in his first Christmas special. It's like at least three or four different outfits. Now we've seen the kilt.
I know, that's it, the kilt version. Please make the kilt one character, because then that means you've got the legs for Jamie McCrimmon.
That would be the most amazing little, I've got legs good enough that they didn't need to change the mould.
Yeah,
I've got the same legs as Shooty Gatwa. I bet Fraser would say that now.
Yeah. He said, I won't show you, but I have. Believe me.
I have. Trust me, I have. All right, then. Well, that is that. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Review of Death. If you did, Matt will tell you to do all the liking and commenting and subscribing.
Please,
because he
like,
works in that
subscribe,
world.
Share it, like it again.
Yeah,
share it
stick
again.
Up your bum.
Yeah, tell your friends.
And you've obviously got the Patreon as well on off weeks when we're not here. You can enjoy all the great stuff we've done over there, and we will continue to do. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. See you all soon, gang, and exciting times ahead. Farewell. Bye-bye.